Okay, Erev Tov. It's wonderful to be together again, learning. Thank you so much to Nechama for hosting us. And a beautiful Achnasar Achim. Wonderful, comfortable home. The Shiurim are Ilui Nishmat. Achim Ori, Harab Shalom Tzvi Ben Moshe. I also want to learn tonight Le'ilui Nishmat, a rev from my yeshiva that was murdered, I believe it was 6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago. Rev Eliezer Biermacher. Were you a Talmud of Rev Biermacher? You learned after your time.
You
see
current yeshiva?
In Eish HaTorah, yeah, he was teaching Talmudim and left the yeshiva on his way out of Shar Yafo. Was murdered by Palestinian terrorists on his way home. Tonight is the Yahrzeit.
Were you working in the yeshiva at that time?
I was working in the yeshiva at that time. So the Divrei Torah should also be Le'ilui Nishmato.
Wow.
right before the passing of Yaakov Avinu, he calls together all of his sons, to give them brachot, to give them a parting message. And one of the most emotional moments of these last moments of Yaakov's life is where he calls his grandchildren, his grandsons, Menashe and Ephraim. And some of the commentaries that ask, there's kind of like a repeat mistake that we see some of our great avot making, or seemingly repeat mistake, that we see our avot making, which is favoritism. Favoritism is a very dangerous thing. Yaakov favored Yosef, and then we saw Yosef favoring Binyamin, and now we're seeing Yaakov favor two grandchildren, Menashe and Ephraim. And it's a discussion that can be found in many of the sources, why it's not favoritism, why it was necessary. But he calls Yaakov, he calls Menashe and Ephraim, and he gives them a bracha, and as is recorded in the Chumash, that moment of him giving that famous bracha, those psukim that we're all familiar with, Hamalach Hagoel Otim Mikol Ra, Yivarecha Tana'arim, that the angel of redemption that was with me against all of the adversity, all the evil that I face, should bless these youths, the Yikar Bem Shemi, and they should put my name upon them and the names of my forefathers, Avam Yitzhak, and they shall multiply in the midst of the land. Yosef sees Vayar Yosef ki yashit aviv yad yimino al rosh Ephraim vayira beinav. Yosef sees that Yaakov was putting his right hand, the strong hand, on Ephraim, who is the younger son. And Yosef says that, you know, Abba, you're making a mistake. He tries to move vayitmoch yad aviv lahasiru tami al rosh Ephraim al rosh Menashe. He tries to move Yaakov's hand onto the right hand, onto the head of Menashe. Vayomer Yosef el Aviv, he says, Lokein Aviv, this isn't the right way. Kizal b'chor, sin yumin chal yoroshel. Put your hand on the head of Menashe, he's the firstborn, and the right hand, the strong hand, the stronger hand of Bracha should go on his hand. Vayimain Aviv, and Yaakov refuses. Vayomer Yadati b'ni, I know what I'm doing. Gam hu yiyeh la'am, v'gam hu yigdal, v'lam achiv akaton yigdal mimenu. He's going to be great, he's going to be into a nation, but the younger one, the younger one, Ephraim, is going to be greater. V'zaro yeh melo ha-goyim. And his offspring, his progeny, is going to be even more notable. V'yivarchem b'yom ahu, and he blessed them on that day, le'mor, b'cha yivarich Yisrael, le'mor, and they will be, and he blessed them on that day, when their blessing was, a beautiful blessing, that the Jewish people will bless based upon you. Just like you, that will be the way the Jewish people will bless. Le'mor, and they'll say, Yisimcha Elohim ke'Ephraim v'chimenashe v'yasem et Ephraim lifnei Menashe. And they'll bless you, and they'll say that you should be great like Ephraim and Menashe, and he put Ephraim before Menashe. And many, many commentaries deal with the significance of Yaakov being so insistent, so strong, over and over again, and refusing Yosef's attempt to switch him, why it was so significant, why it was so critical to put Ephraim, the younger one, before Menashe, the firstborn, the Bechor. And the principle that I want to develop our learning tonight based upon It's based on a beautiful Hasidic commentary from one of the great, great, great Hasidic luminaries, the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, who develops an idea based on the Gemara. This will be our theme for tonight. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, the Kedushas Levi, Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev. And this will be our theme for tonight, and I will, I'm going to specifically make sure to leave time for participation, because I really want to hear, as we develop the idea, I would like to hear your input and your ideas about our idea. And we'll explain. The theme, the principle that the Kedushas Levi bases his interpretation of these psukim on is a principle found in the Gemara, Masechet Megillah, that says as follows. Achar hadvarim ha'ele. This is coming from, I believe, the beginning of the third chapter of Megillat Esther, when the Megillah records, after the story of Vashti, after the story of Esther being the queen, and after Mordechai hears the plot of Bigtan Viteresh, Achar hadvarim ha'ele, Gidal ha'melech ha'chashverosh et, we just finished Hanukkah. Now that means Purim is right around the corner, so we can already start getting ready for Purim. Gidal ha'melech ha'chashverosh et Haman. If anybody wants to say boo, you can. You don't have to if you don't want to. And the Gemara wonders, Achar hadvarim ha'ele, Mayachar, what's the significance after these events? Why does the Megillat Esther need to tell us that after these events, Haman came to power? Why is that significant? Meaning, generally in a story, what happens first happened, and then what happens second happened after what happens first. Like, that's intuitive. We can generally figure that out on our own. Yes, like what happened, and then if something happened after that, then it was after that happened. Ask the Gemara, why does the Megillah need to tell us after these events, Achashverosh brought Haman to power?
Had these events not occurred, then he would have come to
power. Yofi, meaning good, meaning there's going to be some sort of connection. Says the Gemara, excellent. Says the Gemara, Achar shebara HaKadosh Baruch Hu refuah lemakah. After God created the cure for the affliction or the disease or the wound or the illness, whatever word you want to use for makkah, but the challenge, I think the challenge is the best possible, is the best word, in a more global sense, that after God created the cure, the solution for the challenge. De amar Reish Lakish, because the great sage Reish Lakish said, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu makkah et Yisrael, Ela im kein borel lem rufat chila. There is a principle, and I would like to claim, that I would like to claim. I would like to learn together that this is a principle, this is a repeating fundamental principle in Jewish history in general, that God does not bring an affliction, He does not bring pain, does not bring a suffering, does not bring a challenge onto the Jewish people, unless He has created the cure, the solution, in advance. Shenemar,
only Jewish
people. Yisrael v'nigle avon Ephraim. Aval umot ha'ulam, continues the Gemara, Ilan. Aval continues the Gemara, umot ha'ulam, enokim, Erev Tov. The nations of the world do not necessarily follow this principle. Makautam, v'acharkach, borel lehem refuah, she'nemar, v'nagaf ha'shevet Mitzrayim, nagaf v'rafo. But by the nations of the world, they don't follow this theme. That is not going to be our study tonight. We're not going to be contrasting what has happened for the Jewish people as opposed to what has happened for the nations of the world. That would be a worthwhile study. But we're just going to be focusing on the experience of the Jewish people. But says the Gemara, in opposition to the trend, the pattern in the nations of the world, first they are afflicted, and then they are given the cure, they are given the solution, they are given the remedy. Says the Kedushat Levi. We'll learn it inside together. Based on our pasuk that Yaakov took Ephraim before Menashe. Kodem nivra levaer ma'amar chachameinu b'masach ha'megillah bo re'ei shelo kimidat HaKadosh Baruch Hu midat basar v'dam. This is another teaching in Masech Megillah, that the way that God functions is not the way that man functions. Basar v'dam shofet את הקדירה ואחר כך נותן לתוך המים, ומידת הקדוש ברוך הוא נותן מים ואחר כך שופט את הקדירה, את הקדירה. I believe שופט is to heat up. Does that make sense? Anybody not 100% clear on the translation of that word. That man generally will heat up the pot first, and after maybe heat up, and then put in water. God will put in water and then heat up the pot. Maybe that's not a critical point, and I apologize for foolishly not having clarity in the own sources that I prepared. I hope you'll forgive me. But let's continue. Dikvar perashnu, and he says like this. Bepasuk kol ha-machalash, yosam te mitzrayim lo-asim alecha ki ani Hashem rofecha, like the Chumash said in Chumash Shmot, that after the Jewish people who have left Mitzrayim, God tells us, all of the afflictions that I put against the Egyptians, I will not give to you, for I am God, your healer. Diyadua ma'amar chachameinu zal, because we have a principle. Hashem Yitbarach makdim rufa l'makad. God always brings the cure, creates the cure, arranges the cure before the challenge, before the illness. V'kavanato batzara rak bishvil ha-yeshua sheishlach achar kach. What is the meaning of this principle that God prepares and creates the cure and the remedy prior to bringing the illness, prior to bringing the affliction? That the meaning of this is, says the Kiddush HaSlevi, and we'll have a few different approaches to what exactly it means, but he says here that the meaning of this is that since the cure came first, since the remedy came first, by definition, that means that the affliction that follows is only in order to bring about the salvation that's going to come as a result. V'zeu kol ha-machala, lashon pe'ula, klomar, ha-pe'ula va-kavana ha-choli. And therefore the meaning of that pasuk is that the affliction, the illness, that God gives, asher samti b'mitzrayim, like that which I gave to Mitzrayim, lo asim alecha, that I will not give to you. Ki etzlecha, because by you, Am Yisrael, kavanat ki ani Hashem rofecha, rak bishvil ha-refu'ah v'yeshua achar kach. Meaning to say, like, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first, the affliction or the solution? We, as Jewish people, we have a lot of celebrations of salvation. On Pesach, we celebrate salvation. On Hanukkah and Purim, we celebrate salvation. On Sukkot, to a certain extent, we celebrate the miracles of protection that God gave us, right? On Rosh Hashanah, there's a level of salvation, God's forgiveness to us, Yom Kippur, similarly. And salvation and God saving us and redeeming us, you know, is our hope.
Mashiach.
Is salvation simply the solution to our challenge? Would we celebrate so emotionally and so passionately and so spiritually if Pesach just meant we got out of slavery? If Hanukkah just meant that we were able to defeat the Yevanim? If Purim just meant we didn't die? That's not why we're celebrating. The celebration of our Yemei Yeshua, the celebration of our Yamim Tovim, where Hashem saved us, where Hashem redeemed us, where Hashem gave us Ge'ulah, those celebrations are because Hashem gave us tremendous spiritual inspiration. He gave us a tremendous ha'ara, He gave us tremendous spiritual enlightenment. He showed us His love. He showed us how special and how beloved we are. He gave us great gifts, spiritual gifts of meaning and depth and purpose that we can live with. And if that is so, one second, if that is so, that means that the challenge that we went through, the makah, the affliction, was only a means of giving us the refuah, the cure, the gift, the remedy that He wanted to give us initially. But the only way that he could go ahead and give us that remedy, that give us that salvation, give us that great hug, give us that great inspiration, that great spiritual enlightenment, was only if we would go through the makkah, the challenge, the affliction.
Right.
And therefore, the makkah is the means of giving us the refuah, but the whole purpose of the entire process was giving us the refuah that he had in mind to begin with. And this is the meaning of, when it comes to Am Yisrael, Hashem is tamid makdim refuah l'makah. That, like we say in Kabbalat Shabbat in L'cha Dodi, sof ma'aseh b'machshava t'chila. That love, that refuah, that remedy, that solution, that salvation, it comes as the sof ma'aseh. It's the end of the story, but b'machshava t'chila. But it was the original intention of the entire experience. A question from Olivier. Yes or no?
Yes. Between the difference, as Hashem is giving at the same time, not at the same time chronologically, but he's the one who is giving the Makkah and he's the one who gives the Refuah. In any case, I feel that it would have been the same. Even if he was created after that, as he's creating the suffering, and after that he decided to create, it's also, I understand what you said, that it's in the way too, but I have the feeling, if he was not the one who created the Makkah, as maybe it was more easy, but he's the one who created both.
You're asking a big question, and I cannot answer your question. Everybody understand Olivier's question? It's like the most heavy theological question of faith, like, you know, as the question is sometimes asked, you know, why are we thanking God for saving us when He put us there to begin with? Right, that's basically your question. A little more blunt. A little more blunt.
Logical way, the way to understand the thing. It was not like to.
No, not lezelzel. But to understand, to make sense of it,
Can I say it?
No, so am I misunderstanding? Or that is the basic.
Not exactly. It's more that in the logical way, even if He's creating the before after the Makkah, as he was the one who created the Makkah, he's also, we can always say that even if he creates the Refuah after that, it's still had in plan at the beginning to create the Makkah.
No, that's the meaning. Meaning God is above time. Hold on. God is above time. God is above time. So the whole question only starts from a perspective of us, meaning from a perspective of Hashem Himself, there's no such thing as time. There's no such thing as before or after.
Okay.
From our perspective, meaning,
so
therefore,
it's the
same. Right, exactly. From our perspective, as finite creatures, our rabbis are teaching us this principle that from our perspective, the purpose of the challenge has already been pre-programmed. And it's not as,
What I don't see is why, if it was the Refuah was created after, like, you know, if it was not created before, why it would say that it's not in his plan. This is exactly what I don't understand. It doesn't mean that the fact that he's creating the Refuah before the Makkah, in my opinion, doesn't mean that it was not, that he didn't have the plan to create also the Refuah. So we could have said the same. He created the Makkah before. He's waiting a little bit, and after he created the Refuah.
So maybe I understand.
The plan for the beginning was
I understand. So maybe in our learning, we'll see an answer to that question. Okay. Yes.
Well, for me, the answer is like everybody has their own will, like if they want to do something or not do something. So the fact when Ahasuerus made the party and the Jewish people that were there acted a certain way, that they would not act out a certain way, that they wouldn't have been that whole entire thing going on. But since they acted from their free will in a certain way, Hashem said, okay, if you do that, then because you're doing that, I'm going to give you a chance to, you know, like, I'm going to give what's going to happen, but then there's going to be a solution, a refuah of all that too. But had they not gone on their will, had they not done that.
I understand that if there is no time, it means that he would know before if they were going to make tshuva or not, and so he could create the medicine.
It's the people themselves, how they acted. They could have gone one way or the other way, so they went a certain way. So for each way they go, that's their solution for each way.
Yeah. Yes.
Does this apply only to the
Jewish people as a whole as a nation, or does it apply to us individually?
Hold your thought. Yes.
All right.
Just a quick comment. I think maybe perhaps the purpose of the Makkah is to put us in the mindset where we can see Hashem's hand when the refuah comes.
You're answering the question that he didn't ask, that I did ask.
Right. So is that just in response to what you're saying that came up? It's like it's putting us in the mindset so that we can see. And then we can thank Hashem instead of just like, okay, a doctor came along and gave us a cure. Great, we don't really see Hashem.
Sometimes it takes the makkah to appreciate the refuah.
Right. And so that's more the purpose of it. Is like give us the mindset, give us the perspective, so that when Hashem comes,
There's another principle from the Zohar that's quoted by many Hasidic masters. Late Nehora Ella.
There is no light except that one which emanates from darkness. The only light that we can really appreciate as light is the light that comes, either emanates from, or comes as a result of, or is contrasted with darkness. And we can truly appreciate light when it's contrasted with darkness. Very related principles. The Kedushas Levi continues and explains this episode. Remind me name again, sorry.
Bianca.
Says the Kedushas Levi, V'zehu b'tzarat ish Yisrael chas v'shalom. And this applies to every individual Jew. Chas v'shalom. Meaning chas v'shalom, I bless everybody and myself. We should not know any makot. We should not know any makot. We should not know any challenges. But for some reason, only God knows, it's part of the fabric of life as we know it here in this finite world, that we have makot and we have difficulties and illnesses and challenges. But the truest point underlying this experience is ki kavanato b'hatzara al hachasadim shemikodem, that the purpose of the challenge, the purpose of the difficulties, is in order to reveal the kindnesses that were pre-planned. Rak al yidei ha-choli, only through the illness, through the challenge, through the affliction, ha-adam naseh kli lekabel ha-shefa. And this is certainly what Erez was hinting to, that through the difficulty, through the affliction, through the challenge, we are refined, we are matured, we are pushed, we are forced to make ourselves prepared to accept and to receive the shefa, the bounty, the love, the abundance that God wants to shower upon us. Kederach b'nei adam k'sherotzim lasot mikli katan kli gadol tzricha shvira, that if you have a pot and you want to take that pot, it's a small pot, you want to use that raw material and you want to make it bigger, what do you need to do? You need to break it first. You can't just enlarge the pot, you can't just enlarge the kli, it needs to be broken down and make its raw materials into usable material, and then take that usable material and make it into a bigger vessel. Kein Hashem Yitbarach rotzeh lashviel adam. God wants to shower all of us, each and every one of us. We should meditate on this for a lifetime. God wants to give us. That's a fact. That's why He created us. He wants to be mashpia tov. He wants to give us goodness. He wants to hug us. He wants to shower His love and abundance upon us. V'tzarich sheyiyeh b'cholto, but it has to be that we have the ability, sheyiyeh yoter gadol, we need to be bigger. Galal kein shalach lo tzara o choli chas v'shalom. And because of this, sometimes God gives us challenges. God gives us, He breaks us a little bit. And this is painful. This is hard to hear. This is hard to accept. And it's, and I even feel insensitive saying the words, because who am I to say that Hashem wants to cause any discomfort, any lack of goodness and joy in our life. But if anybody, Chas v'Shalom, should ever experience something that's a little challenging and that's hard and that's an affliction and feels like Hashem is just giving us a difficulty, I can just read the words of the tzaddikim. Shezeu shvira sakli katan she'achar kach yeh yoter gadol. It's we're being a little bit broken because Hashem believes in us to become bigger, to make us bigger. V'zeu choli hanikra kedera. And this is how he explains that first statement that I wasn't totally clear on. Fine. Lefizet, the last paragraph. Yivuara pasuk haner le'el, and this is how he explains the deeper Hasidic interpretation of Yaakov switching the hand and putting the right hand on Ephraim and blessing Ephraim first. Vayasem et Ephraim lifnei Menashe. Why did God put Ephraim before Menashe? Halo anu ro'im bevracha shesam Ephraim lifnei Menashe. Ulefi chazal haner le'el yivuara. Shagam zem me'abracha shebirichet Yisrael v'hine katavnu shebiyisrael Yeshua v'rafa hu mikodem. Yaakov's whole intention here, his whole meditation, his whole blessing over here of putting Ephraim prior to Menashe was this meditation, this thought. V'zel ikar ha'kavana b'tzarat Yisrael ha'rifua v'al Yeshua sheba achar kach. Yaakov was teaching us and showing us and revealing to us and expressing to us, manifesting in this bracha, that the purpose of any challenge, any pain, any affliction that we should ever, that we would ever experience, and at this moment we're going into a big one, right? We're on the verge of the darkness of Galut Mitzrayim. Yaakov is telling us that that tzarah, that affliction, is only for the purpose of revealing the great salvation that will come afterwards. Kedeshin yeh kli yoter gadol, so that we become even greater, we become an even greater vessel, more refined, more able to withhold more, able to love more, able to receive more abundance, more love, more divine light. V'hini Hashem shal Menashe romez al atzara kakatu v'yikresh mo Menashe kin Hashem Yeluim. Menashe's name, which is a very, very fascinating study of itself, when Yosef named his first son Menashe, Menashe's name was basically, I forgot. God made me forget. He made me forget my Beit Avi, made me forget my father's home. Menashe was Yosef's expression of the difficulties that he went through. And that was his first son. Vashem Ephraim Mirumaz al Yeshua. Ephraim was Yosef's recognition of his growth and prosperity. Ki Ephraim Elokim, God has made me prosper. So what did Yaakov want to do first? Yaakov wanted to show us that Ephraim, the expression of prosperity, the expression of growth, the expression of salvation, he comes before Menashe. Yes, it's true, Yosef, in your life, you experienced Menashe before you experienced Ephraim. That was your real experience. There's no question about that. And that's our experience too. Maybe over and over again in life. We experience Menashe's before we experience Ephraim. But Yaakov wanted to do a little bit show and tell. He wanted to do, it was before they had PowerPoints. It was before, you know, but he wanted to say, Ephraim comes first, Yosef. I know you had a lot of Menashe. You had adversity that you faced with your brothers. You had adversity when you got sold down you got thrown into a pit and you got sold down to a slave and the house of Potiphar. You had a lot of Menashe in your life. But then you had Ephraim, because we know Yosef's story. Yaakov says to Yosef, I just want you to know that Ephraim was always first. I just want you to know, and I want you to be clear, and I want your children to be clear, and I want the Jewish people to be clear for the rest of time. You experienced Menashe first. You experienced that darkness, that forgetting, that loneliness, that pain. That's true in your experience, that's true in our experiences. The Menashe moments come first. But know and remember and hold on to the faith. And this is not an easy thing. What I'm saying right now is not an easy thing for any of us to do, myself included. But we need to meditate on it. We need to try to remember. We need to try to instill it within us, because it'll help us get through, and it'll help us have that appreciation. It'll help us hold on as we'll continue to learn. Remember that Ephraim comes first, and Hashem had the Ephraim in mind the entire time. Hashem had the prosperity and the light and the protection and the safety and the salvation. He had it in mind the entire time. Uve'emet b'Yisrael am kadosh ha'Yeshua hu mikodem. And you have to know that the salvation is first. And that's why Yaakov expresses, connects to, intensifies the energy of Ephraim before that of Menashe shemurmaz al tzarat klomar shebi Yisrael am kadosh haYeshua v'rufua who kodem v'hu haikar. Yes, Ilan.
Why Ephraim is so important? Why?
Here in this teaching, Ephraim is actually very important. Everybody's very important. You're very important. Everybody's very important. Everybody's very important. But here in this teaching, it's more the teaching is coming from the name and coming from what he represents, what his name represents.
What means Ephraim?
Milashon Hifrani, like Peru, Pri, Peru Urvu.
Peru
Urvu. Peru Urvu, like multiply, press, prosper. Yeah, that's what Ephraim represents here in this teaching. Yes, Esther.
Does the Midrash or anyone else talk about how Yaakov was also second, first, and then with this coming
about? Oh, wow. Heavy. Meaning. No, but meaning. Off the top of my head, meaning a specific correlation from this teaching to Yaakov and Esav. No, but you're absolutely right. It can be totally connected. There's no question. Hold on 1 second. I just was learning something. Yaakov and Esav. I learned a teaching from the Beis Halevi. This is where I have to leave the world of Hasidus if we're going to talk about the Beis Halevi, but that's okay. The truth of the matter is, for the first time, this was not easy for me to do, but the source on the top of the third page is actually a source from one of the great giants of Torah of Israel, who passed away last year. It's less than 1 year since his passing, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, who passed away last Purim. Purim was Erev Shabbat last year, if anybody remembers, here in Yerushalayim. And I actually was coming out of the mikvah, coming out of the mikvah Erev Shabbat, and I remember opening up my phone at that moment and seeing the news that the great sage, the great luminary, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, had passed away. So we have a teaching from Rav Chaim Kanievsky about our theme. That's what I want. The Beis Halevi. The Beis Halevi says that Shalom Shalom. Erev Tov. We have some more sheets of food. The Beis Halevi says that thank you so much, Olivier. That when Yaakov and Esav were born, the Beis Halevi says that. Oh no, not Yaakov and Esav. I knew I was off with something. He says by the birth of Peretz and Zerach, the two sons of Tamar and Yehuda. Okay, so I take it all back. I don't take it all back, but there for sure could be correlations. Yaakov, meaning what's the correlation? The correlation is the Yaakov. Biologically, physiologically, was born second. He came afterwards, right? But Yaakov, certainly in retrospect, but obviously not in retrospect, Yaakov is clearly the one that would be the continuer, the transmitter of the tradition of his father Yitzchak and grandfather Abraham. Meaning Yaakov was the purpose. Yaakov was the machshava. Yaakov is the. It's spot on. Yaakov is the. The refuah kodem l'makah, meaning even though Esav manifests physically first, is born first. Yaakov, who's born second, he's the one who will surpass and be revealed as the one who will be the hemshech of the Mesorah. So yes, absolutely, no question.
It just also shows the primacy of the ruchani side. In all these,
yes, meaning it's hidden. It's hidden. It's right. Yes, it's hidden. Absolutely. We'll see how this idea really. There is an idea from one of the great, great, great Hasidic masters of Tzadok HaKohen Milublin, who says that the meaning of this paradigm, the meaning of this theme of Refuah Kodem Lakah, is actually, and this is, I don't think this is the standard approach, and it's certainly not necessarily. Always manifest in reality, but the truth of the matter is the context of Megillat Esther, in the context of Megillat Esther, in actuality, the Makkah never happens. Right? Not one drop of blood is ever spilled, Baruch Hashem. There's fear.
Maybe the Makkah was the fear.
Okay, in Acharami, but certainly we thought at least that, thousands of Jews were going to die. We thought that there was going to be a Holocaust. That was the fear. Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. So Rav Tzadok HaKohen says, in the context of this teaching, that in truth, the meaning of Makkah, Kodem LeRefuah, the meaning of Refuah, Kodem LeMakkah is, He's discussing the idea that from the pasuk in Yeshayahu of beita achishena. Maybe some of us are familiar with it. That how will Mashiach come? Either beita. Many of us associate that with 6,000 years at the end of at the end of 6,000 years. That's Mashiach will come. That's beita at the appointed time. Or achishena, it will come quickly. Meaning, why will it come quickly? Generally, that's associated with we're going to be in such a miserable state that Hashem's only way of bringing us salvation is to rush the salvation in order to save us. Maybe that's like what happened in Mitzrayim. But he says over here, "Be'ita nu kishe kvar chaselo davar butzam imishto tek v'tzarich lam v'kachu be'ita l'inyan b'yat Mashiach kasher yu kol tzme'im li'yishuato." Everybody will be so thirsty, so in need, so desperate for salvation. V'lo yeshum eitza acher li'yishuat Yisrael. When God will rush the Mashiach, Hainu Terem Yikro, even before we call out that of necessity, Shemakdim Rifu Alamaka. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says the meaning of Rav Makdim Rifu Alamaka, and maybe he's using it a little bit tongue in cheek, but he says the meaning of Makdim Rifu Alamaka is he'll bring the Rifu'ah even before he brings the Makkah. That the Makkah will never come to fruition, and therefore that's how he understands the simple meaning of this concept. Not like we've said it, not like the Kedusha Slavi says it, and really not like our primary theme, our primary idea. But he says it could also mean that sometimes Hashem will bring the refuah even before he has to bring the Makkah; it'll never happen in order to save us. That's a side point. For the sake of time, we're going to skip the next Sfatemet. We'll learn the bottom Sfatemet on the page. Continuing to develop our theme. But Midrash, this is coming from the Sfatemet, the great Ger Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda Leib Alter of Ger. The bottom of the first page. Sfatemet, Breshit Parshat Be'yichi. B'Midrash Parshazu Stuma. The Midrash teaches that Parshat Be'yichi is a Parshat Stuma. What does it mean it's Parshat Stuma? That if you look inside the Sefer Torah, inside the Tikkun, there will be no break between the end of last week's Parsha and the beginning of this week's Parsha. And the Midrash says, why? Why? And Rashi quotes it at the beginning of Parshat HaShavua. Why is it closed? Why is there no break in the text? There's no, which really is a manifestation, an expression of there no breathing room, of there no time for reflection, of there no ability to kind of be in the moment and have some mindfulness about the experience we're going through. It's a total overwhelming shock. What's a total overwhelming shock? We're in the process of beginning Galut. Galut Mitzrayim is happening before our eyes in this week's Parsha. And the Midrash teaches, just like the eyes and the hearts of the Jewish people, we're becoming closed, we're becoming numb, we're becoming totally, totally desensitized to the fact that we were in Galut and all of our world was darkening right before our eyes. So too, that's manifest in the Torah by it being a Parshas Stuma, it being a totally closed way it's written in the Torah. Says the Sfas Emes, Hinei lo diaki Galut b'nei Yisrael, eina b'mikrem. The exile of the Jewish people, the adversity that we experience is not just by happenstance, it's not just by chance. V'chol taluchot b'nei Yisrael, oser roshim b'Torah, and the entire story of Am Yisrael makes a mark in the Torah, has an impression, is part and parcel of what Torah is. Hari Amru Chazal, Ba'oraita Bara Kadosh Baruch Hu Alma. He beat the Torah, Ubara et Ha'olam. God looked at the Torah and then created the world. The Torah came before the creation of the world. The Ikar HaBriyah, Hayavor B'nai Yisrael. And once the world was created, that was for, like Rashi says in Parshat Bereishit, Breshit Bishvil Yisrael Shenikra Reshit. The Torah was for us. The creation of the world was for us. The Torah was a finished product. The depth, the meaning, the purpose of reality as we know it, that's all in the Torah. That came before the world. The world, which is a place as far as possible away from God, and a place of challenge, as we know, the world only came after the Torah. But by the fact that Torah is first, the fact that the Torah was a reality before the world came into creation means our theme that Hashem created the refuah before the makah. Im kein hibit HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah. And in the chapters and the unfolding of the stories of the Torah, the God's purpose of the creation of the world is coming to fruition. And therefore, there are some portions of the Torah that are painful. They're hard sections of the Torah. They're exile sections, where there's affliction, and there's difficulty, and there's adversity, and there's challenge, and there's mistakes. The truth of the matter is, you know, you go a little bit further, you know, you learn, I've said this idea many times recently for some reason, but I think it's so important. You learn like what's going on in the Nevi'im, in Sefer Shoftim, in Sefer Shmuel, in Sefer Melachim. Like, there's a lot of messing up there. There's a lot of shortcomings. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of not really being sure of who we are as people and as individuals. And there's a lot of anger. And there's a lot of distance. But it's all part of the Torah. It's all part of the divine plan. It was all pre-scripted. And when it's written in the Torah, it's written in a way even sometimes that it's stuma, it's closed. But it's okay. It was all known in advance. The Torah came before the world. The ups and the downs, the trials, the tribulations, the good times, the bad times, the makot, the refuot, they were all in the Torah to begin with. V'Hakadosh Baruch Hu hechina ta Torah kodem shenivra olam. God prepared the Torah, and as I once heard the name of, I've heard this idea from many people, but this was the one that it was the most profound, by Rabbanit, I think her name is Chana Henken. Rabbanit Chana Henken, anyone know who Rabbanit Henken is? From Nishmat, a very, very special teacher of Torah. Nishmat, a woman's higher learning seminary, very, very special. So unfortunately, terrible, terrible tragedy that happened, that's got to be 12 years ago, something like that, 11 years ago. Her son and daughter-in-law and children were in a terrible, terrible act of terrorism. And I think stones were thrown at the car, if I remember correctly, and husband and wife and children were murdered. And it was every Jew lost, and every Jew lost to terrorism is heart-wrenching. This one was especially, especially heart-wrenching. It was a young, special, up-and-coming family, so beautiful, so glorified, so humble and modest, but so such great leaders and teachers of Torah. And many people went to visit the Shiva house. Many people went to the family to try to give comfort and to try to just, you know, express togetherness in a time of pain. And Rabbi Henkin, who's an expert and seasoned educator, so she didn't hold back, and a group of seminary students went to visit, and they didn't have anything to say. They were just there, which is so beautiful. And she asked them, this was the anecdote, she asked them, how many books are there in the Tanakh? Anybody know how many books there are in the Tanakh?
24.
Kavdalad. What? 24 books of Tanakh. One of them said there's 24 books of Tanakh. She said, no, you're wrong. There's a 25th book of Tanakh. And you in your life right now, you're writing that last book of the Tanakh. You are writing the next chapter of the story. Your lives, all of Jewish history, and there's sources that indicate this beautiful teaching. All of Jewish history, every single person, every individual, nationally, personally, since the Siyum HaTanach, since the end of, you know, Divrei HaYamim, that wasn't the end of the story. And when Mashiach comes, that the finished book, the finished copy, is going to come from the publisher. And each and every one of us needs to remember this, both to empower us and strengthen us to be beautiful parts of the story, but also to remember that whatever is happening in our life, it's all part of the story. It's all predestined. It was all known in advance. Just like the parts of Galut were written in the Torah even beforehand. And therefore says the Sfasemes that all of our life experiences are part of the Torah, because everything is part of the Torah. And the good times, but also the bad times. But since, and this is our theme, since Hashem wrote the Torah before creating the world, By definition, the culmination, the solution, the end of the process is going to be revealed as a Yeshua, and it's going to end v'anta Yisrael d'shir azot in song and in celebration. The Shem Yishmuel says, flipping the page, asking this idea, and he says our idea so beautifully. He goes to Parshat Shemot. This is from the Shem Yishmuel and Parshat Shemot. He asks, why is it that Parshat Shemot begins by listing all of the names of the Shvatim, all the names of the brothers who are in Mitzrayim? And he asks, why is that necessary? And he says that each one of the names, he quotes the Midrash. The Midrash says that all of the names of the Bnei Israel are there, al shem Geulat Yisrael. Reuven, Ra'o Ra'iti Et Ani Ami, Shimon, Vayishma Aluki Ben Nakatam. All the names of the brothers of the Shvatim are expressions of the Geulah, which is a little bit funny, because this is the introduction to the Galut, it's the introduction to the slavery, the pain, the suffering that we're about to endure in Mitzrayim. How could the Midrash say that all the names are al shem HaGeulah, the Shem Yishmuel says in the bold? She'en kavanat ha'ka'al Yisrael derech onesh v'nekama al she'avar. When God brings pain and suffering on the Jewish people, it is not a punishment. It is not revenge for the past. Ela lemerakeim ulezachacham leman yiru'im lekabel ha'ma'alah me'uteret lahem. It's for the purpose to refine them, to fix them, to uplift them, in order so that they'll be ready to receive the great things that are in store for them. Deim kein, im lo titzuya harufuad mikodem, lo tzachena makah. And if it couldn't be that there will be a great gift, a great Yeshua, a great salvation that will come as a result, there wouldn't be a makah, there wouldn't be an affliction. Therefore, alkein borei harufuad mikodem, ulumat harufuad ha'ma'ala, mi'aser ma'akah utam, ad shiyu ru'uyim. And God always makes the cure before the affliction. And based on the salvation, the cure that's going to come at the end, that's the extent of the affliction that he'll bring. And so too, all experiences of Galut that we go through are all in order to give us great things, to give us the Torah, to give us the Beis HaMikdash, to give us the ultimate redemption. All of the things that we go through are just to give us the great salvation at the end. And therefore, it's a fact that God has created the refuah kodem lemakah. It's a fact that God has created the purpose, the cure, the salvation beforehand. It's not just a solution for the brokenness. It's not just, yay, we're saved. It's this was the purpose of the entire process. And now I can make sense of everything as a result of what we will see at the end of the story. And this is how he explains that's the meaning of the brothers, the names of the brothers, the Shemot HaShvatim, Al Shema Geula. Because Geula was programmed into the beginning of the affliction. Geula was programmed into the beginning of the difficult experience. I'm not going to go through so many more sources inside. The Be'er Mayim Chaim says so beautifully that this is also the explanation why Yocheved was born on the way down to Mitzrayim, right? As we know, Yocheved in last week's parsha, she's the 70th of the progeny of Yaakov that came down to Mitzrayim, but she is enlisted because she was born literally right before entering into Mitzrayim. And the Be'er Mayim Chaim, Chaim Chernovitzer, he says, one of the great Hasidic masters, he says that it had to be that Yocheved was born before entering Mitzrayim. It had to be that the refuah was kodel makah, that the mother herself, Yocheved, the mother of Moshe Rabbeinu, that she, within her body, physically and spiritually, she contained the Redeemer within her, and she needed to be born, and in order so that the woman who contained within herself, literally, the Redeemer would be there before the affliction even began.
So she was born like as they entered the gate.
That's right. Bein HaChomos, right before they entered in.
That's beautiful.
Some examples. The Rav Nassim of Breslov talks about this idea a few times in his work, Likutei Halachos. I just gave you one of them. I'll just share it outside. He says, based on Divrei Torah, but we'll leave the Divrei Torah out because we already said a lot of Divrei Torah. He says, historically, he says that and this is what we're here for, the Hasidic Revolution, the Baal Shem Tov, and the great, great, great luminaries who brought so much inspiration and so much light to the Jewish people and gave us so much strength and gave us so much willpower. You really just have to look at the last 70 years, the resilience that the Jewish people have and the Hasidic communities have, and really now it's spreading so much. You know, look at Chabad, and look at Breslov, and look at how much wisdom and inspiration has come from the world of Hasidut and the great Hasidic masters since, and what that Torah has meant for the Jewish people since the destruction of the Holocaust, and over all the suffering that we've experienced, even going back to the pogroms, the 1800s, and all the anti-Semitism that we've experienced, and that's only on a physical level. And then look on a cultural level. Look on a level of ideas. Look on a level of philosophies that certainly now more than ever are running rampant, that are so challenging for Jewish ideals, for Jewish identity, for Jewish values. Says Rav Nachman of Breslov, it's so obvious that Hashem sent us, the Baal Shem Tov sent us the great luminaries, that to be such luminescent and profound sources of inspiration and wisdom, to give us the ability to hold on during these hard times, during this darkness, during these difficult times of adversity for the Jewish people, and during the painful times physically, and during the challenging times ideologically and philosophically and culturally. Hashem gave us the makah kod, the refuah kodun makah. He gave us the cure of that source of strength and inspiration and light and love and brotherhood and sisterhood and spirituality and depth and acceptance and compassion that the great Hasidic masters have been giving us and teaching us and inspiring us with, that they are themselves the refuah kodem l'makah, says Rav Nachman of Breslov. I wanted to share this teaching because I said it before. What does this do for us practically? And this is not a Hasidic teaching, but the truth of the matter is, Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zecher Tzadok Livracha, who was the Gadol Hador of Lithuanian Torah Jewry in Bnei Brak, he was the son of Rav Yaakov Yisrael Kanievsky, who is known as the Stipler Gaon. So he actually has a big Hasidic upbringing. He actually came from, if I heard correctly once, I believe he was a very, he was a strong student of the Likutei Moharan of Nachman of Breslov, but he's Stipler, comes from the city of Hornstipel, which is a very strong Hasidic center. Anyway, Rav Chaim Kanievsky was not a Hasid by any means, but his family actually did have some Hasidic practices. But he, in one of his many, many works, discusses this principle of Makdim Rifuah Kol Makah. And if I wouldn't have told you, the author of this section, I could have easily passed it for Hasidut, but that's just because all of Torah is really one, and even Torah that comes from Lithuanian communities is also beautiful and inspirational as well. And he says like this, what's the significance of this idea, Makdim Kodum Makdim Rifuah Kol Makah? She'al Kol Tzarav Al Kol Tzar V'Sevel Sheba'al Adam, that based on every adversity and suffering and difficulty that comes to a person, yesh kvar refuah muchana od mikodem shebat tzara, the solution and the cure is already in place before the challenge even happens. V'tzarich rak lizakot lizkod lirot harefuah v'atikun, we just have to merit and struggle to be able to see that the cure is there. But zota yidia, but that knowledge alone, and I think this is maybe the most important thing that I want to share tonight, that we can walk away with. The knowledge alone, that when we ever, if any of us, chas v'shalom, go through difficult times, the knowledge alone that God has prepared the solution, He has prepared the cure for us already, that itself should be a great source of comfort and strength to us. Shelo yipol b'yeush b'yoto b'mitzar, that we shouldn't give up. We shouldn't fall into apathy and to brokenness as a result of the affliction that we may go through, chas v'shalom. And even when it appears like there's no solution and there's no way out of this difficulty, we have to daven and we have to pray and pour out Hashem, put our hearts to Hashem, v'yasok b'torah mitzvot Hashem shemayim, and strengthen our dedication to Hashem, u'letzapot tamid, and always prepare ourselves L'tshuat Hashem keref ayin, to know that the salvation from God can come in the blink of an eye, from the places and the way that we least expected it. But it's there by definition. This is the fabric of reality, the way God created us. And therefore, if we ever, chas v'shalom, go through something difficult, we have to know and keep it in our hearts that Yeshua is already prepared. It's already here. I just want to see it. I want to see it already. I know it's there. And that gives us so much strength to continue to last. I'm reminded of one of my favorite movies. The movie is called, with Tom Hanks when he's on the island. The volleyball. Castaway, thank you. I think it's a very, very profound movie. It's a very, very profound movie. And what's the refuah kodum makah in that movie? Maybe the volleyball. Anybody know the movie? Yeah. But also the UPS package. The one package that he doesn't open. Right? And the movie ends. I'm sorry for giving away the movie. It's a great movie. I strongly recommend it. The movie ends that he's had this one UPS package that he took care of, I think it was for some years on the island, and he brings it back with him, and after finally gets his life back together, he goes and delivers the package. He held this one package to keep his mission alive. Going through the unbelievable, unbearable conditions that he went through. Yes, I know it's a movie, but I get into movies. Sorry, you have to forgive me. Right? But he was, but the refuah was there, kodum lakah, and therefore he held on because he knew it's gonna come. Just need to push a little longer. And there's moments that he's so close to giving up. Moments that he's so close to just throwing the whole thing away. But he has something, and that's a big question on the Gemara, because the Gemara says this is a principle by Jewish people. Okay, maybe it's a Jewish movie. I don't know. But he holds on. Because he has something there with him from the beginning that is giving him that knowledge, giving him that hope, giving him that strength about the end. And he says, this is, then Rav Chaim Kanievsky goes on and says, which is also a big question, he says, Hagar and Ishmael are an expression of this principle as well. They're not Jewish, so that's a question. Anyway, Adkan Divrei Torah. So, it's late, and we'll finish in the next few moments. I prepared 8 examples in history and in Torah where this paradigm manifests. You can look at the ones that are in English by yourselves. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, says that this is why God gave us the commandment of building the Mishkan before the Chet HaEgel, because the Mishkan would be the Refuah Kodem L'Makah. A friend of mine said a beautiful teaching in a pasuk in Tehillim, that the pasuk says that God gives wool before the snow. The wool is the Refuah Kodem L'Makah. The Mashiach is born on Tisha B'Av, according to the Gemara in Masechet and the Yerushalmi Brachot. Many great Jewish leaders, and this was referenced before, many great Jewish leaders were born on the day of the death of another Jewish leader, meaning the next one was already about to be born, already created before the other one falls away, and Yoshua is prepared before Moshe dies. Rabbi Akiva is there before Rabbi Akiva dies. Othniel ben Kenaz is there when Yoshua dies. Shmuel and Abi is there when Eli dies. And this is a theme in Jewish leadership, that the next one, the one that's going to bring the salvation, the one that's going to bring leadership and strength and inspiration to Jewish people, is there ready even before the loss of the previous one. There's the idea of the four captives, which was probably a not so well known chapter in Jewish history, how really the Jewish people and Torah centers ended up in North Africa and Europe at the turn of the millennia. A fascinating story that's also for sure a manifestation of Makdim Rifuah Makah. In more contemporary history, this one actually occurred to me the other day, the Spanish Inquisition and the downfall, the end of the golden age of Spain for the Jewish people in Spain from literally 1000 till 1492, when Columbus sailed the ocean blue, and also the Inquisition killed or forcibly converted thousands of Jews. They just leave that part out of the poem. I guess because it doesn't rhyme so well, but it should be part of the poem. It's important for us as Jews to know that 1492 was a catastrophic time period for Jewish people, the Inquisition. But the Ottoman Empire, which would become the next safe haven and critical place where Torah would blossom, where the Jewish people would blossom and continue after the fall of the Spanish Inquisition, that came to power before the fall of the Spanish, of the golden age of Jewry in Spain. Certainly much more contemporary is the founding of America, which has been one of the greatest havens for the Jewish people and for Torah in our 2,000 years of exile, as Europe and anti-Semitism and pogroms culminating in the Holocaust is all coming to be. So America, even though they didn't do enough in the Holocaust and for the Jewish people, but certainly giving a place where Jewish centers could be reformed, where communities, yeshivas, bete knesiot, communities could reestablish themselves, that is certainly the forming of America, before the fall of European Jewry is certainly an example of this motif. And lastly, you know, Baruch Hashem, we can celebrate it, and we should celebrate it every single moment of our lives here, is the return and the founding of the State of Israel before, not the founding, but the foundations of the Jewish State of Israel before the Holocaust, giving us the refuah before the makkah of the Holocaust and having a place that we'd be able to go to just a short time afterwards. I know it's late, it was a long time, I'm sorry for speaking so much, but I if anybody wants to think for a moment and share more examples in Jewish history, or if anybody wants to share, this could get personal, and I know we're not here for group therapy, but if anyone wants to share any example in your own life that you've ever experienced where you realized afterwards that Hashem gave you your refuah before a makkah that you, chas shalom, experienced, that could be wonderful to share. And most importantly, I think let's take the chizuk of this principle to know that Hashem gives us the challenges that He gives us with knowing in advance that we're going to grow from it, that we're going to gain from it, that there's going to be a Yeshua, there's going to be a great light, there's going to be a salvation that's going to come from it. And if we can hold on to that emunah in the dark times, we can keep it real. We can keep the knowledge that the refuah is already there. We just need to see it come into fruition and recognize that the adversity that we may chas shalom experience sometimes is just a means for bringing us that Yeshua that Hashem so desperately wants to give us as individuals, and so desperately wants to give us as the Jewish people. And B'zad Hashem, we should be zochah to see the ultimate refuah of the makkah of 2,000 years of exile as soon as possible.
Amen.
If anybody would like to share, no pressure, but I would love to hear. If anybody
I know about a personal one, but I think general concept. You know, your basharit, your zivug is always there in your past relationships.
Amen.
Okay, so they had to go through in order to get to the right one.
Amen. 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 Look forward to many, many refuot.
Amen.
Beautiful.
Yeah, but sometimes you don't reach the one's lifetime.
I don't know. It's a fair question.
You're talking about
what?
Survive? Okay. Anyway.
Say it again. Yeah, I hear you. We can all tell stories of stories where we don't necessarily see the refuah at the end. And we know people, and maybe we've even experienced ourselves where we haven't seen the refuah at the end. And those are questions. Those are legitimate, real, painful questions, and hopefully we have to ma'amin be'emunah shleima b'viat ha-mashiach that one day we will see a refuah to all of those things that we have not yet seen the refuah for, and those people that so desperately need refuah that they have not yet seen the refuah for, we'll see them. Yeah, and we also have to, we also maintain the sensitivity and the compassion for people who have not yet seen their refuah, and knowing, what the right things to say are in certain situations. Sometimes it's not the right thing to say. Your refuah is coming soon. But just saying, I love you and I care about you while you're in the makkah. But we hope and pray that we will see all of the refuah that so many need so desperately and yearn for so desperately very soon.
I'll share another one.
Please!
That's something I think financially, I've been in tough spots, and the timing works out that, rent is due, and just in time I got, a job or whatever, I got some contract that, just in time in order to pay whatever. Baruch Hashem, I don't have to ask for help. Hashem gave me, and I have a month before, so that the timing of me getting paid is right when I need it. It's not once, but Baruch Hashem, I think financially a lot of us can see those types of situations a little more clear.
Yes, yes. I mean. Okay, Erev Tov, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.